Okay, let's take our Bibles and head over to Psalm 8, and then we'll look at Psalm 144. So turn to both of those. We'll read both of them here, and then we'll go back to 8, and then but let's start in 8. And so find your place in Psalm 8 and then Psalm 144. Okay. In fact, let's do this. Someone would like to read these for us. Someone would like to read Psalm 8, 1 and or 3 and 4. Someone would like to read those two for us? Okay. Okay, Brother Krinke. And then how about 144, 1 through 4? Okay. I'll read it then. Okay. Okay, Psalm 8. Go ahead, Brother Krinke. Okay, great. Thank you. And then Psalm 144 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. And as we just consider how much you consider us, Lord, may we be amazed at your love, your goodness, your grace to us. And then, Lord, as we gather around your table to consider the wonder of that message as well, we pray that you'd work in our hearts. May this be a sweet time, Lord, to encourage us of your love and your amazing grace toward us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 8, that's where we'll go. So I've entitled this, "Amazed by God's Ways." And so the Spirit of God put upon David's heart in Psalm 8 to ask some questions. And then in Psalm 144, it's more of an exclamation. There's exclamation points there instead of question marks. But all of it, it's not, though the questions are really toward the Lord, he's not expecting the Lord to answer. It's really for our own contemplation. And so in Psalm 8, in verses 3 and 4, and verse 4 is where those questions are. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? But let me ask in this, what stirred his heart to ask those questions? Verse 3. Okay, so astronomy, not astrology, by the way. Okay, astrology is where you try to look at the stars to figure out your future. Astronomy is just the study of the stars, okay? So space. So probably David in his shepherd days probably had a lot of time that he could look up at the stars and look up at the sky and see the sun and the moon and all of that, all that God has done. And so just thinking of some of that and just really, really rather quickly, but how much more we know about astronomy today than probably David did in his day, though he could probably see a lot more stars than we could, being out under the Milky Way, as we would say it. But just today from the Hubble telescope and other things that we've known, and if I get any of these stats wrong, Dan, you can let me know on that. But there are really innumerable, and it's always innumerable if you get past 20, because you got 5 and 5 and 5 and 5. So innumerable amount of galaxies, and the average galaxy, from what I read, was about 1 million stars. And then we don't know how many others, just like, you know, there's all sorts of planets around our, or satellites around our planets that are in our solar system. So there may be more planets out there. There may be more moons and that type of stuff. But what's amazing to me is the space between objects. Okay, whatever you want to call that space. And so they decide on how far things are in space when they're measuring those out. They call them light years. Now, a light year is based on how far light travels in a year. Okay, now light travels, if you can comprehend this, it's really amazing, 186,000 miles a second. Okay, I mean, that's, you know, whew. I mean, we're going speed of light. That means from the sun, when the light gets here, from the sun to the earth, of how far it goes across, it takes 8.2 minutes to get here. Okay, and so, you know, that's an amazing thing. So the closest other sun to us here, closest other star, you could say, is 4.25 light years away. So that's the closest. Okay, so I'm talking about the space between things in space is really astronomical. That's why any kind of science fiction writer, they always have to have a way to get across the galaxy or galaxies, because there's no way, even traveling at the speed of light, that you could make it. I mean, we're just that's the closest star. So then if we jumped out to our galaxy, what we call the Milky Way, that it is 100,000 light years across. So even if you were going to speed of light, you'd never make it. You'd die far before you ever got there. And then it says that our Milky Way, which is one of the, I don't know if it's one of the larger necessarily, but it's much larger than the average. We have, they said, 400 billion stars in our Milky Way. And then there are innumerable other galaxies. So I want you to think about the illustration God says here in thinking about the heavens. What does... In this illustration, what did God use to put all of those stars in their ordained places? His word. But what does it say in this passage as an illustration? His fingers. It doesn't say his arms. It doesn't say his hands. It says his fingers. What's implied by that? I think there's several things you could just think of. When God says he does it with his fingers. Precision. Yes. I think that's part of it. What else does it tell us? It may be in comparison to size. Yeah, it's just a little bit. You know, if you're working on something real small, you don't usually use you use obviously your hands, but you're, nothing's getting into your palm. It's just little tiny things. And I just think it's awesome to think about God. And you think about this infinite, whoa! He just did it with his fingers. And so thinking about the detail he puts into all of that, it's all amazing. So the more we know about astronomy, in a sense, the more awesome our God should become. And that's what it was for years. So then we come to verse 4. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the man here, it seems to be probably pointing, it's not Adam created. It's probably fallen man in his weakness and frailty. You say, why does God think about us? Mindful. Why, Lord, why do you fill your mind about us? Why do you, in fact, it's a Hebrew word often translated, remember. Why is that? And when God remembers, it's often he answers prayer. He looks at our needs. He answers. He fulfills promises. All of those things. And we need to ask ourselves, I think it's a wonderful question, especially after you think about the awesomeness of his creation. And then say, why do you think of us and our weakness? And then the second question, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. And so visit, it's used in the scripture, can use God visits in judgment, but I think the context here, he visits us in his blessing. And why would God do that? And there's lots of reasons. I'm not necessarily asking for reason, but let me ask you, when you visit someone, I'm not thinking of digitally, I'm thinking of actual visits, okay? It's someone who's near, someone you can touch. Some of you may remember Kathleen, who was here this morning, and she's moving out of town, and she came a while ago and so forth, and she said both to me and my wife today, says, it's so good to see you and such, and says, can I give you a hug? I said, sure. and gave my wife a hug as well. See, when you're near, that's the kind of stuff that happens. When you visit, that's the kind of stuff that happens. You visit friends, and so you can touch. And I'm so grateful God isn't restricted by COVID in any way, shape, or form. And I just thought for the sons of Adam and all the daughters of Eve that it's amazing that the Creator says, I want to visit with you. I want to form a friendship with you. I want to be close to you. And I thought, wow, that's really awesome. The God, just like in the garden, how it seems as though God regularly visited Adam and Eve. And that seemed to have come short when the fall occurred. But now that we're in Christ, God says, I want to visit you. What is man? What are we? What are you? That God would think of you and God would visit you. The very fact that you and I as a Christian have that opportunity, we should stand in awe that God would do that for us. Wow, that's awesome. Now let's go over to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. And so starting in verse number 4, okay, man is like to vanity. And notice it doesn't say man is vanity. It doesn't say that. It says like to vanity. And this is the word it is... Its root word means breath or just something that's quick, something that like a vapor. You know, and so man's like vanity in the sense of a vapor. There's nothing to it, and it's gone so quickly. And then the second illustration goes with that as well. Sorry, I lost my place here. And then his days are as a shadow that passeth away. I remember still when I was in high school. And even though I was vertically challenged, I played basketball in the wintry time. And so being in Seattle, it didn't usually snow, though it often rained. But I still remember times walking home. And as I was walking home, it was about 4 blocks from my high school to my house, and going under the streetlights. And I always thought it was fun that you could, as you walked under streetlight, your shadow. And it would change real quickly because it wasn't very long, but it went from real short to right in front of you as you took a few more steps and it'd be out there. Took a few more steps and it would be 16 feet tall. And I thought that was interesting. And then all of a sudden it'd disappear, and then it would be behind me from the next street light. And then pretty soon it'd be there and it would stretch out. But it was there and it was gone. That's what shadows do. They're there and they're gone. They're not. They don't stick around. They're very momentary. And so in verse number 3, I think this connects with that in a sense that he asked the question. Well, notice the exclamation point here. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? And so there's a point. Lord, we are so temporary. We're here and we're gone compared to you in eternity. You go from generation to generation. We're here one generation, we're gone. And 70 years compared to eternity is not much. And so he says, Lord, you take knowledge of me. You want a relationship with me. You think about me. And we all know that God knows everything without any study. That would help getting ready for classes, wouldn't it, Dan? So David's thinking about not just that God knows everything about me, but it's the idea of God taking an interest in me. God's involvement in our life. And David's, Lord, why do you, and he's enjoying it, but he's saying, Lord, you take involvement in me to guide me, to direct me, to show me your way, to protect me, and all of those things. God's always there. And though we're like a puff of smoke, though we're like breath on a cold morning, God still, you interest me. And so that's, and then he continues on in the second parallel statement, obviously, but, or the Son of Man, that thou makest account of him. And this sort of looks not just that God's involved, but God's planning and purposing for you. God's directing you, and God's got all of those things planned for you. And I was thinking, man, what a privilege. We're just a little, you know, we're here and gone. And God says, you know, I'm eternal, but yet I'm going to think about you. I'm going to consider you. I'm going to bring you into my plans. Think about that. God's plans. He says, I've got plans for you. I've got things for you to do. I've got people for you to meet. I've got things for you to make an influence on. And David's just saying, wow, wow. But notice verses 1 and 2, because this is, I think all of this stuff about his exclamation in verse 3 would have to include these first two, thinking about how God's involved and God's caring and God's planning for my life. And I thought, he mentions three things that he gives God credit for here in verse 1. He said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I'm going to put those down as this way. God gives me my skills. Now, David obviously was in a battle situation. He was a man of war, a man of blood, and that's why he couldn't build the temple. And God had his son Solomon do it. But these were things he said, Lord, I didn't get these skills just on my own doing, though he may have spent hours learning. But the fact is, the principle here that I think all of us can understand is God is giving you skills and ability that are uniquely yours. You may have been educated into them and practiced them, but the fact is they are still skills. And so God gives me my skills. The second thing I see here is that God relates to me and in my needs. And so David probably thinking of situations in battle, but he said, the Lord is my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and him in whom I trust. And so I think these are all the ways that God demonstrated himself to David in the midst of difficulties. And you and I need to understand that, as I put it, God relates to me in my needs. God wants to show you something about himself this week that maybe you haven't learned or you've forgotten about, and he just wants to reiterate it to you. And so all of a sudden, you know, you may be in a situation. I mean, I'm thinking of Anna and the situation she was in. And if you heard about it, I know some of you didn't, but if you heard about it and you were praying, God answered your prayer very directly. Especially if you did pray that. I mean, that was one of the things I said, Lord, don't let him take it now. Don't let him take it now, please. Man, it was a blessing when she said, hey, they postponed it. and more or less, I think it was Anna saying, I don't want it done. But it still, they were willing to go that way because everything looks, she said, everything looks really good on my chart and everything. So, all I'm saying is God, all of a sudden we always think, oh, well, man, there's a difficulty. And God says, no. I want you to see it as an opportunity for me to work in your life. I want to show you something about me that maybe you've forgotten or you just need to know. So I'm saying this way that you and I need to recognize that we can be amazed at God. And I'm going to call it this personal revelation. I don't like to say it that way, but a personal illumination in your mind of what God is like for you. God wants to show you that. In the last part there at the end of verse 2, I'm going to put God put me in my position in the sense of he says, in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. And so probably thinking of David and his position as king, you know, and it does subdue sounds pretty harsh, but I think he's just saying, Lord, you put me in a position of leadership here. You guided me. And we know from the time that David was told that he would be king to the time he became king, there was a lot of conflict and difficulty that he went through. And so I think he's just saying, Lord, you put me here, and I'm thankful for the position. Now give me grace, obviously, to carry it out. And so you and I may not be in the same historical position that David was in, but as we think about what he's saying, okay, God, you gave me my skills. God, you're revealing yourself to me in all these different ways. God, you put me in my position. What is man, Lord, that you take note, take knowledge of him, and the Son of Man, that you make account of him? Lord, we're so temporary, and you've made a big deal out of this. And of course, I understand David was unique, but all I want you to say is be amazed how God wants to use you. Be amazed at the position God's put you in. Be amazed at all that, because none of us deserve it, but God in his grace says that's what I want you to do. So as we come to the New Testament thinking, in fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And thinking about what the Lord's done for us in Christ, that I think these would still be, I'll put them as contemplations, whether exclamation point or whether as a question mark, that they are wonders that we ought to always be in wonder of God. Wonder in the sense of his greatness, wonder in the sense of praise. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And I'll just stop there. And so as we take time to examine ourselves here this evening and to consider what God's done for us, I want to read these questions one more time and think about them in light of the fact that God saved your soul, in light of the fact that he wants to make you useful in his service. And so I'll read them out. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Maybe you should put it this way. Lord, what am I that you take knowledge of me? Lord, what am I that thou makest account of me? Lord, what am I that thou art mindful of me? Lord, what am I that thou visitest me? Wow. God's awesome. And we can praise him for how he takes note of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Jesus Christ. Thank you for his death on Calvary. Thank you for his resurrection. And Lord, none of us are worthy of such matchless expressions of love. But Lord, you are worthy to be praised for such matchless expressions of love. Lord, may we stand in awe of you. May we worship you. May we praise you. And Lord, may it stir us to serve you, because you have thought of us. You have made plans for us. You have and do visit us. You direct us. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, as we gather around your table now and we take time to consider what you've done and then consider our own lives in light of that, I pray that we would be filled with praise, filled with love, filled with ambition to serve you. Again, thank you for this night and for a time of consideration and contemplation because of what you've done for us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.